armies. This is again 1 Samuel 29 and verse 1. I dove into that a little quick, I'm sorry. And it says, now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. Now looking at the map, the best I can say is that this fountain was the same fountain where they took down Goliath, or within that same ish area. I don't think you can use the word ish in Bible study, but that's about as close as I can get you. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands. But David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, who do these Hebrews hear? And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days, or these years? And I have found no fault in him, since he fell unto me unto this day. Now, when we say years, we're roughly looking at around two of those. David had been among the Philistines, friends with Achish, there in Ziklag for roughly around 2 years. Again, estimation, right? I don't have the lease stating when David moved in, nor the lease stating when he moved out. But best recollection through history, what we can put together, roughly about 2 years. Verse 4, and the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David, of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And Achish called David, and said unto him, surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright. And thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. And we say, lords, there we're talking about the lords of the Philistines. And basically what he is saying is this, hey, you've been good to me. And he refers there to the Lord. When he refers to the Lord, he means, of course, Jehovah. Which is very interesting that Achish would refer to Jehovah in that way. And we could look at that and we will say, well, perhaps David is rubbing off a little bit on this Philistine. This must be good. You see, a Christian or somebody who loves God could very easily show and prove and turn the stripes of others. And of course, that's what we're here to do. We are here to be an influence, a light that points to Christ. However, we cannot take from that the wrong lesson. And we'll look a little bit more into this. Verse 7, wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines. I was reading a article a couple days ago, and they were talking about how the Mars rover, one of the Mars rovers, had found pieces of plastic on Mars. And they were concerned about scooping it up. Obviously, they did all the math. And like, all right, this clearly came from us landing here. That's our piece of plastic. But instead of being able to scoop it up, they refrained because they didn't want anything from Earth inside the Mars rover. Because then in all of its sampling, it couldn't tell the difference. And it could not corrupt, but it could contaminate the rest of the samples that they bring in. So they were nervous about it. They found two different things from the shuttle landing. From the landing of the rover. And they go, that's clearly ours. But they didn't want to pick it up because they didn't want to contaminate anything from that world inside the rover. And I raked through my head for a while. The rover's from Earth. Everything's there. Now, clearly, they've decontaminated and did everything that they had to do. But isn't it weird to see something that's been decontaminated from its surroundings? And now it is off on a foreign planet. and it is seeing things that pertain to its nature, right? The same factory that made those plastics most likely made the plastics that run that machinery. And they could not pick it up for fear of contamination. Folks, when we talk about the world, being how the world is one of our enemies, we do not say that the individuals in the world are our enemies. What we are describing is a humanistic, carnal mindset that we were delivered from. And we are to put all effort into not recontaminating ourselves with it. So when we say, be careful what you watch, be careful what you listen to, the more sin you entertain yourself with, the more seared your conscience will be. That is what we are saying. You recontaminate yourself with sinful thoughts, practices, and mindsets that God already decontaminated you from. You have no need for those things now. Right? Whatever those things that the little rover is finding all over the place. And I tell you what, that is one of my hobbies. I love following that thing. Could you imagine? I grew up playing with RC cars. Could you imagine being on the team that's trolling that thing around? That fascinates me. But it won't pick up the things that it used to pertain to it for fear of contamination. We ought to have the same thing. Does the alcoholic go to the bar? Does the drug addict hang around the same old friends? No, everybody telling them to eliminate those things from their lives would shudder at the idea of them putting themselves back in the old situations. So that music, that atmosphere, that television, those movies, whatever it is that makes sin seem okay, we put those things in, it'll contaminate our mindset again. It'll make it easier. Make us easier to break. Well, I remember this. Well, what if I came over and I did that? And oh, I remember how I used to do that. It's been a long time. I've been doing really good. I'll reward myself with some of this. No, we don't do that anymore. We've got no business with that. Romans 12:2 tells us, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, if you're sitting there going, well, brother, how did you go from David wanting to go to war with the Philistines, and now we're on Mars, and now we're talking about being not conformed to the world? Where was David? He was among the Philistines, who had always, since their creation, since their exodus from Egypt, I'll put it like that, who has been the enemy of the Israelites? The Philistines. Who had David successfully gone to war against? The Philistines. When the Israelites turned to Ashtaroth and they turned to some of these other gods, who did they get that from? The Philistines. And where was David? Among the Philistines. Now, I can't sit there and say, how deeply was he affected? Well, he's ready to draw sword against the Israelites. Now, I can't tell you the depth of it. I can't tell you, was he... Could we honestly say that he was bowing to Ashtaroth and Beelzebub and some of these other gods? I don't know. All I know is there they are at war with Israel, and then they're telling David, you can't go to war. And David, if you read forward a little bit, tantamount to just saying, aw, that don't seem right to me. You know, it's almost as though in this, in wanting to go to war against his own people, he'd forgotten who he was. He'd forgotten where he stood. And we, just like he, we need to remember and be mindful of where it is we stand. We have to remember that humanistic and carnal mentalities are dangerous to us because they drive us, they pervert us, they call to us, they speak to a bit of what we still are. It's not just that it will pull you from God. it in and of itself is sin. And the more you entertain yourself with sin, the more calloused to it you become. It gets to be about fall. Here we'll have the next couple months. It'll be that fall weather. And it'll get to about 60 degrees. What are we going to do? We're going to put our sweaters on. Break out all the hoodies and the fancy sweaters and put those on. And we'll be cold. Cold inside, cold outside, cold going to the store. And then we're going to go all winter where it's going to get real cold. Now, the first 60, 65 degree day we get in the spring, what do? We pull the sweaters off. Why? Because we've gotten used to the cold. We're not used to the warmth. So this is quite nice. But yet here we are. We're going to go into the fall. We're used to the 90 and 80 degree days. When it gets down to 60, we'll be cold again. Our bodies get used to things. And that's what sin does. We get used to it. It doesn't bother us anymore. You know, you sit there and you're watching a movie and there's blood and gore going all over the place. And you turn on the news and there was a shooting down in Detroit and X number of people got killed. And it doesn't bother you anymore. Why? Because you're surrounded by it. You entertain yourself with it. What about the cussing and the overt lasciviousness, if you understand my meaning there? What about that stuff? You become desensitized to it. And when you hear gossip, well, he went over there with her and they were doing this, and all of a sudden she came into the story and they got to fighting and this over here, and doesn't bother us anymore. Why? Violence, sin, and immorality stop bothering us. Why? Because we're used to it. It's like going from summer into fall. Or going from winter into spring. We just become so used to it. Our behavior is odd. Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Used to be you'd get a dirty-minded kid at around 13 or 14. That's when they really start getting bad. Nowadays you sit there, you talk to a 6 or 7-year-old, and they'll sit there and they'll say some stuff, and you go, how do you know about that? Well, they probably learned that from school, one, but used to be learning from the kids. Now the teachers are obliged to tell the kids the most grotesque things. Where'd you get that? Where'd you hear that? They're steeped in it. They've got the internet. They've got cell phones. They've got access to things we've never had. And for every parent that sets up a lock or a block to prevent them from getting there, don't worry. They know how to get around it. Right? The parent that thinks they're clever, they put a password on the TV. The kid sits there and the first thing he tries is the address to the house. You know what I mean? There it is. Oh my, I mean we got to realize that as smart as we think we are and as foolish as we think children are, they're smarter than us in some aspects. Carnality seeks to get into everything. And to those that are defiled by it, even their mind and their conscience becomes defiled. Hey, why are you letting your child watch that? Oh, what's the big deal? Hey, why are we letting men who are dressed in this overtly sexual way, why are we letting them read to children? And yet a Christian writer can't come and read a Christian book to them. Why this person, who we wouldn't stop to talk to on the street for how provocative they are dressed, real or not, why? What's the big deal? That is a conscience that is defiled. They don't see it, or at least they pretend not to. Well, it don't bother me. Of course it doesn't bother you. Ain't nothing going to bother you. Your conscience is in a stupor. Your brain is numb to the perversion and wickedness around you. I tell you what, we are headed into a time where children will not just be merchandise, but children will be this predation against them will be widely accepted. People think I'm crazy. But 10, 20 years ago, we would have thought this transgender thing was crazy. 50, 60, 70 years ago, we would have thought gay marriage was crazy. There's a lot of people, that'd be crazy. I'm telling you, you watch. You watch, it'll no longer, they'll slowly begin to reduce the laws against it. Oh, they would never do that. I often find that whenever the government tells you we would never do it, they've already got it on the planner. They really do. You just give them a few months. We would never do that next election cycle. They've already done it. They're like, we had no idea. Right? We would never allow public corruption. We would never allow a government that uses the media to twist our minds and use propaganda against us and try to treat us like we're dumb. How about this? Let me give you this. The North Koreans, not the current Kim Jong, but the one, the dad, once put out there on their news record and their news reports that he had traveled to the sun and made it back, and it was under some ridiculous amount of time, 36 hours, right? Something where you're just like, that can't happen. You know what I mean? Never mind the fact that you can't go to the sun. Right? Even if you roll the window down, it's still going to be too hot. And I sat there and thought, how ridiculous must it be to be in a country where they play that stuff for you and you've got to pretend, that makes sense to me, man. That makes sense to me. And I sat there and said, man, if I was ever in that kind of thing, if anything like that ever happened in America, we'd be flipping tables and burning flags, man. We'd be going nuts. And then you turn on the TV and what do they say? Well, we're debating whether or not the existence of aliens is real. Oh, and we have found some flying devices. Now, if you know what I know, the whole alien thing has always been covering up experimental aircraft that we're doing, right? Either another country or us, right? And now, yes, that's what it is. Isn't that funny? We find cocaine in the White House bathroom and we're talking about it. Hunter Biden gets himself in trouble and we're talking about space aliens. Right? We've got some severe issues going on in the White House. We jumped up 200 and some odd billions, 400, I can't remember, hundreds of billions of dollars. We jump up in the debt in this much of time in a calendar, and all of a sudden we're talking about aliens. I kind of felt like the North Koreans there for half a second. But oh my. And I wonder how long it took them to get here and how long they've been here. Oh my. And then you get those people out there making things. The point is this. This world is corrupt. They have let's use the Bible word for it. They have a defiled conscience and a defiled mind. And they think you're stupid. The more and more I pay attention to the people who make the movies and make the television shows and make the news and the people who make the policies, the more I hear them talk, the more I come to the conclusion they think we're all stupid. And the problem is there's a lot of people that as they pipe, they dance. Well, they would never lie to us. It's just good entertainment. It's just this actress or actor, this director, this singer. Oh, they're so innocent and they sound so good. You be careful. You be careful. Their conscience is defiled. 1 Timothy 4:2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Well, does it ever bother them? Listen, if they believe in this stuff, which, by the way, once you get up to the governmental level, most people don't believe the stuff that's coming out. When you're part of the machine, you don't actually believe, you know what I'm saying? You get the trick. Like everybody in the audience saw the rabbit come out of the hat, but everybody on stage knew where the rabbit really was the whole time. If they believe it, man, that'd surprise me. I think the most of them, their conscience is seared. no more feeling in their mind about the things that they're doing than I have in this finger. Just no more to it. We have to guard what comes into our minds, or we'll find ourselves in embarrassing situations. Again, sitting among the crowd going, yes, yes, I see the emperor's clothes. No, no, I'm not a fool. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We need to lay aside these things. They do us no good. They're no good for us. All for a minute they'll taste good. All for a minute it'll seem right. All it'll give you a little bit of relief from your day, a mild distraction. But in the end, it just ruins your mind. Ruins your testimony. Ruins your strength. We need to guard our spiritual strength. We need to build our spiritual strength. What we see here with our friend David is that David, he was among these people. And let me tell you what the problem is with this sermon, what the problem is with the idea I'm going to bring out there, is that while I sit there and say that carnality is found among the people who are living without God, we all have an Achish, don't we? I've got several Achishes. When David was talking to Achish, he was talking to him like a good friend. Achish did good to David, and David did good to Achish. That's where it was. I've got a lot of people who hate God who I think are pretty decent people. I've met some people out there who have done some things that most of the world would say, oh, that's pretty awesome, but from a godly perspective are terrible. And you know what? They're friendly people. They're nice people. You know, you don't mind sitting down and having a conversation with them. They don't get too rowdy. They're not mean or abrasive. They're decent folks to talk to. I've known criminals, people who've gotten themselves into big trouble, who, you know what? You wouldn't mind to go grab a cup of coffee with them. They're decent to talk to. What we don't realize is when we talk about the battle against the world, again, it's not the people. The fact of the matter is that they are caught in the same prison you once were in. You're going back to a prison and you're walking through. Now listen, I don't know a lot of folks who've gone to prison, but I've known a few. None of them, after they came out, we're rushing to go back in. Oh yeah, my cellmate, they would do this and we would do this and we would make that and oh yeah, we would have this. Oh, sounds like you had a good time. It was not a good time. I'm just telling you about the fun stuff. I would not go back. Zero stars. Not wanting to go back there. But why? Because it bound their freedom. And yes, there were small joys along the way. But they hated being there. They sold their freedom for an hour's worth of crime. Or however long or whatever it is that they did. We're going back to those in carnality prisons. In death. And that spiritual death talked about when we get our new life. They're bound in that lostness. When we live among them, when we live around them, yes, there are wonderful people named Achish out there who'd even sit there and speak kindly to us and speak in our own words. Hey, you going to church on Sunday? All right, well, pray for me. Used to work with a guy that would do that. Matt, you going to church on Sunday? Yeah, you know I'm going to church on Sunday. You coming with me? No, but why don't you pray for me? He was a decent guy. Never could get him to come to church. And I did pray for him. But I couldn't go joke with him. I couldn't go to the bar with him. I wouldn't go over to his house when he was having a barbecue because I knew what they were doing. Right? He's a good guy. No hatred towards him. Right? But you're in prison, buddy. Right? Yeah, that bottle's taking you. That thing you're smoking is taking you. See, I've got a lot of people who are caught up in sinful lifestyles that I love desperately. It's not about whether or not the people in that lifestyle are good folks or bad folks. They're just not caught up in godliness. And I can't be caught up in ungodliness. I can't do it. So yes, there will be moments where that coworker is amazing. That neighbor is fun to talk to. You know, I think about my neighbor now. We're probably, there's a group of guys on the other side. We don't talk much. We're at different stages in our lives. We did different things with our lives. So we're those kind of guys that just kind of go by each other. Hey, how you doing? Go, good to see you. You know, he goes on vacation. He comes over. Hey, I'm going to be gone for a while. Give me a jingle on the phone if anything happens. We're like that. Hey, how are you? We're the hey, how are you neighbors. That's what we are. Rest of the neighbors on the block, what's my relationship with them? When they drive by, I wave. When I drive by them, they wave. It's very cordial, very nice. But I'm not going to be sitting there going, all right, let's get them on over. Let's get on over to there. Now, I know some of you know the people on my street. I don't know them all that well. Tell them I says hi. But I just don't know them all that well. My point is this. Is you can have a coworker, you can have a decent relationship with your neighbor. You can have love and respect and treat others with dignity. You can do that. But you got to draw the line where their sin has an effect on you. That's where the line is. Hey, let's go for a cup of coffee. Man, I will go for a cup of coffee with you. Hey, why don't you come on out to the bar with us later? I will not go to the bar with you. Hey, listen, we're going to go on over here. So-and-so is having trouble at their house. We were going to go install a toilet for them. Hey, I'm there. And then afterward, we were going to go to the bar. After we're done, I'm going home. It's very simple. It is not a war against the people of this world, but against carnality and getting that contaminant back inside of us. He lived among them. It is very hard for us not to live among sinners. And more sin gets louder and louder, and it is very difficult to live in this world and maintain your integrity. But you have to do it. You have to put every bit of effort you can into maintaining your integrity. Because I've seen Christians out there, and we'll talk about this later on, I've seen Christians out there, they give themselves into the same sins. And all of a sudden, they are that stereotypical Baptist who's got sin in private, but they hallelujah at church. And all of a sudden, everything comes crashing down because that sin of theirs got a little too big. And all of a sudden, they're doing something atrocious, and people are getting hurt, and everybody sits there and says, well, that's what a Christian is. No. If a Christian needs to be a Christian, and he ought to be, and she ought to be, we don't accept sin back into our lives. We don't carouse around it. We don't get around it. We block it far from us. The problem is you get to be around sin for so much, you begin to empathize with those sinners. We sit there and we say, hey, listen, what they have to say is vulgar and they're very carnal. But every now and then they'll say something good because they're conservative. And I like them because of their conservative political point of view. But I don't like all this other stuff that they talk about. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Why would I sit there and open my ears up to carnality and sin and not wonder if my life's going to end up getting rotten somehow? My mom, at a certain particular time in our growing up, she stopped allowing me to have pets inside the house. And by pets, I mean I had frogs, fish, hamsters. And I think I've told you how some of those stories ended, right? The frogs would get out, go into mom's shoe. The hamsters would get loose, come out underneath the refrigerator while mom was opening it up. I was banned. She realized that for as long as I could bring them into the house, they would wreak havoc in the house. And my friends, that's the attitude we need to turn towards sin. If I bring it into my ears, if I bring it into my eyes, it will wreak havoc once it's in here. We're all sick and tired of Christians looking bad and doing bad, but none of us are tired enough. Well, I say that carefully. If we're tired of that, we need to be just as tired about sinners bringing that sin into their mind. It's out of the abundance of the hearts. You put some things in there, it'll fester, it'll grow bigger. The Bible refers to sin as leaven. And what does leaven do? Leaven just puffs everything up. Sin grows. Sin affects everything. While we can be friendly, it is very hard for us to have an open door policy with this world. And even in Scripture, we are told to love our neighbor, to love our enemies. And those things are perfectly possible. And God tells us to do it, so we know that we are able to do it. So then where is the line? when your sin comes over here. I can see you on the street. I can shake your hand. But I'm not getting involved in your stuff. And I'm not listening to you. I don't have anything to say concerning those issues that you have defiled yourself with. Well, come on now. I used to have coworkers who said, you need to get over yourself. You need to get over yourself. No, you need to get over this thing that's got a hold of you. You need to get over this sin that has collapsed your life and destroyed you. We need to draw the line at accepting sin. Because sin is contagious. As you see some do it, well, I guess I'll relax a little bit. You know, you're at a work function or whatever have you, and there's some beers around. Well, hey, why don't you just try one? This one's got a lower level of whatever. Hey, you know, you hear people cussing and swearing, telling dirty jokes, and you remember that one you picked up in service, and you just go, not service here at church, but it may be in your military service. And you go, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell this. I'll tell this one, you know, just everybody else is doing it. We're all adults here. No, you ought not to. You've got no business doing that. It's contagious. Not just that, but it's explosive. It hurt you. It hurt people around you. Who will you make fall because of your sin? Who else can you hurt in the church or in your family or in your area? Somebody who's sitting there and the Holy Spirit's working on them, and there you are being the Christian, acting like a fool. Acting completely unchristian. Somebody's sitting there, they're on that edge. Well, maybe this God thing, maybe I ought to consider it. Maybe I ought to do, maybe hell is real. Maybe heaven is real. Maybe Jesus was real. And they're sitting there on that precipice, and there's you. Doing your best to disprove everything God said a Christian ought to be. While he was of them, he was in them, he was with them, he wasn't one of them. And the Philistines knew it. The Philistines knew it. You go walking around this world as a Christian, guess what? You ain't going to fit in automatically. People sit there and say, well, how do I explain to my drinking buddies that I can't come over and drink no more? You stop drinking, you serve the Lord, you ain't got to worry about it. They'll distance from you. Well, how do I tell the old gossip group not to call me anymore with the gossip? You handle the first call properly. That's the great thing about gossip span. You handle the first one right, everyone's going to know. I went to her, and I tell you what, I went to go tell her just a prayer request. Just was sharing a prayer request with her. And she said, we ought to call the person that we were going to pray, that I was telling her about. They said, we ought to call that person. She out of her mind. Trust me, they'll stop. Well, what about the old crew that would do this? You start acting godly. You act the way you ought to act, and don't worry. They'll put some distance. Why? Because that sin inside them is going to see something about you, and they're not going to like it. That's the heartbreaking part about being a Christian. Not the people you reject, but the people that reject you because you've changed. There was a guy one time, came up, and he was giving a testimony down at a church in Cincinnati, and I thought this was just, I thought it was just weird, man. His wife was saved, and she was going to the church, and she cleaned up her life, and she'd made changes, but the husband was mad. So every time the pastor would come around to visit him, he'd sit there with a beer in his hand, drunk as he could be, just getting mad. One time he snapped at the pastor. He says, what you did is you ruined a perfectly good broad. She used to party with him. She used to be okay with him coming in late at 2 a.m. half the time. She'd be out on her own at 2 a.m. He was happy with that sin-filled lifestyle. It's very hard for a Christian to stand up and duck away those things or put away those things that were from behind. Put away those more carnal things, crucifying the flesh. It's very hard to find that after you've accomplished that, that you've got people that you loved and cared for in your life, don't want to have anything to do with you now. But it is much better that you live without those things. You come down to the point where you ask some people, well, why is it that you won't have anything to do with me? Because I stopped putting poison in my body. Why is it that you stopped having anything to do with me? Because I stopped telling inappropriate jokes and started respecting women. What's the point if I stop running around with you at all the clubs and honored God with how I ought to be treating myself and how I ought to be treating others? Why is it you don't have anything to do with it? What's so wrong with me not wanting to have anything to do with that? What's wrong with a monogamous relationship? What's wrong with having integrity in my work, in my home, and in my finances? What's wrong with it? Well, it just makes it seem like there's a right and a wrong, and that hurts my feelings. Be hurt. Because you need to know there is a right and a wrong. You need to know. You know, I sit there so often, we work with the kids, and there's these conversations now. Are you a helicopter parent? Are you a I'm gonna mess this up, like a permissive parent or something like that. My thing is this: when it comes down to parenting, right now, I want to be the biggest consequence those kids have to deal with. You know what I mean? I would rather me tell them that they're in time out for 5 minutes than for them to fall down a flight of stairs. That's just my opinion. I would rather sit there and make them do something over again than have a boss fire them, right? I want to be the biggest consequence they have right now because I'm dad. I'm going to be soft-hearted and soft-handed. That's just the way it's going to be. You get out there in the real world, being fired is as tough. You know, falling down a flight of stairs because you ain't got the good sense to not run at them, that's tough. These things are very important for us to know. Hey, listen, if you do this, it'll hurt. Don't do it. It's good for us to know that there's a right and a wrong. Now that we know that there's a right and a wrong, then we can begin to discuss what? That because of the wrong things we do, we're destined for a place called hell. So then we can have the salvation conversation. First, they have to understand that there is a right and wrong and that they've exploited it. See, but these Philistines, they looked over, they said, Who is that? What's this Hebrew doing here? Oh, that's David. You know David, he's been with us for years, right? He ain't ever done anything wrong to us. He's been very tame. He's one of us now. Somebody used that epithet towards a Christian one time. You know what? For a Christian, you're not very preachy. You're kind of chill. I like you kind of Christians. Normally, if I'm doing this or doing that or taking this from the company, most of you Christians would tell on me, but you don't. I like Christians like you. What an insult. What an insult. Oh, David, he's been living among the Philistines and not shaking anything. He's not caused any trouble. He says he's done no evil. That's what he means. He's not caused any trouble among us. He's not hurt us. He's been one of us these years. I wouldn't want to, as a Christian, be called one of us when it comes down to people who are doing sin. I don't want to be one of you. God called me away from that. My heart broke when I was one of you. My life was a mess when I was one of you. I ain't got no problem with you, but I don't want to be in the same prison. I don't want to be shackled by the same things. I don't want to be there anymore. These people, they knew it. Hey, aren't you that Christian? Aren't you go to that church? Aren't you with this? Aren't you with that over there? The moment you mess up, they'll call you out on it. Never mind the thousands of sins they've committed. Aren't you supposed, hey, listen, let me tell you about how sin works. Lord saves you. He don't make you perfect. My life would be so much easier if he did. But I'm not called to an easy life, it looks like. You know, I got to fight with it. So do you. They know it. Hey, what was your car doing at the house there on Sunday morning? Hey, maybe you skipped church. You know, I knew this guy, he'd skip church, go golfing on a Sunday morning. He'd sit there, and every now and then people who'd visit us would go, hey, I saw so-and-so out on the golf course. When'd you see him? On Sunday? No, he had the stomach flu on Sunday. He clearly could not have been. Guess what? Two people just found out you're a liar. You know what I mean? It's rough. When you're sitting there and you're gambling with your integrity when it comes down to sin. David had fought him. Whoa, this David guy, he shouldn't be here with us. David's killed us. Didn't they do a little song and dance? Remember the little song and dance they had about how Saul, his king, would kill so many of us, but that David would kill like 10,000s of us. That David, they were incredulous. And I'll tell you what they were right to be. When people get incredulous at a Christian's behavior, they have every right to. I just wish they'd stop blaming God and other Christians for how bad that person behaved. Because you'll see that a Christian will go out, somebody who calls himself a Christian, they'll commit terrible atrocities, use their faith to try to get out of that. Well, is that what a Christian is? No, that's what he is. And that ain't right. I've got no problem talking about that. That don't embarrass me at all. Well, was that a very Christian thing for them to do? No, I guess that ain't a very Christian thing to do. What does that say about them? Not God. You think God all of a sudden puppets us? It ain't his fault when we go bad. It ain't his fault when we fall among the Philistines. It's ours. So we need to put a little bit more guarding up. We need to be more careful with what we've allowed into our hearts. Because I'll tell you this, you are never going to be buddy-buddy enough of this world in order for this world to accept Christ. Some churches out there, that's what they're doing. We don't preach on that. Why don't you preach on that? People won't come here if we preach on that. Okay, well, what about this doctrine? Well, it makes people feel bad. We want to kind of, you know, we don't want to be abrasive. Okay, what about the hymns? Do you sing the hymns? Had a lady call this week. Man, I thought she was coming. What kind of hymn? What kind of songs do you do? I go, what? What kind of music? I go, well, we sing the hymns. And she goes, oh, okay, good. You know what? Whether she was coming for the hymns or not coming for the hymns, we're going to sing the hymns. Why? Because I don't feel the need to put a rock beat to our music just to appease people. Let me give you a pop quiz. You don't have to answer out loud. Just give me a face and I'll know what you're thinking. What is the purpose of music in church? It's to serve God. That's what it's for. It's to please God. Well, yeah, but people tend to enjoy it more. We don't have church service. We don't have worship services for people. Now, people are in the worship services, but the purpose isn't to make people feel good. It is to talk to God, to praise God. So we don't change that. Well, if we'll fit in a little bit better. I don't want to fit in. Nothing about that situation was good for me. Why would I want to bring that situation into the church? No, thank you. You see that every now and then someone will get up and they'll get behind a pulpit and they'll sing a wonderful song. Now, I'm not saying that the songs that are sung behind the pulpit need to be necessarily hymns. Hymns are just an easier way for us to organize it. It's an easier way for us to know it. And they're good, tried and true songs. When somebody comes up here and they've got something we've gone through, we say, yes, it's very scriptural. And they come up and they sing those songs. What do we say? We say amen. Isn't it weird? We don't clap. I'll tell you why we don't clap. Because that person didn't sing for us to be entertained. If that person sang for me to be entertained, I'll go to one of those Monday night Christian music shows. I'll do that. You know what I'll do at the end of a song? Hey, there you go. You really ring my bell. I'll stand up and I'll clap for you. Right, there you go. You came here, you charged money, I gave you money, you entertained me in a very Christian way. There you go. You know, I'll applaud all day. You come up here, though, you're doing it for the Lord. And that's why we say amen, and we don't clap. I've seen some churches where the pastor gets up, and they'll clap. You ever do that, I'll turn around and go sit back. Wait, no, I don't want to give you that button to push. We don't feel like hearing him today, you know. Get him back down. No, all joking aside, that's not what it's for. That's not what it's for. We cannot be worldly enough to get the world to accept Christ. It's not going to happen. We're called to come away. We're called to be apart. They despised his God, and in the heart of things, they despised him. And I think in many ways, there's many reasons why a lost heart despises God. But I think the most of it is not just that God has rules. But I think it's because in the end, you can see the things that are valuable to them
and you see them not working so well. And yet I can see a Christian who's really living for it, and their faith is sound and intact. They've got peace when they shouldn't. They've got joy when it doesn't make any sense. I think it's not just the fact that God has rules and that takes work, and he's requiring change from us. But I think one of the deep-seated things there is the stuff I'm doing here carnally don't work. They'll binge watch a Netflix show and they'll feel empty again. So now I got to find another one. They'll sit there and they'll try this milligrams of marijuana. And after a while, that don't work no more. So they got to go to that many. They'll go to the doctor, and the doctor will say, hey, listen, what you need to do is you need to be on these 12 pills, and something terrible will happen to their brain. The doctor goes, all right, we're going to reduce that, blow that up. And it's a constant, they almost feel like guinea pigs the rest of their lives, just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. When what they need to do is they need to cut out the cocaine, the alcohol, the methamphetamine, the marijuana, the taking themselves up and bringing themselves down. As it turns out, if you're sitting there living a life of addiction, squeezing the dopamine out of your brain, artificially putting it back in, you're riding up and down. Turns out that does terrible things to your brain. Terrible things. So again, they'll sit there and they'll say, okay, well, this relationship makes me happy. All of a sudden, this relationship doesn't make me happy, so I'll go to this one, and then this one. And maybe the reason why I'm not happy in my relationships, maybe the thing that's missing inside me is I'm just having relationships with the wrong gender, and I'll go try another one. Or, hey, maybe I'm the wrong gender. And they'll color their hair and their nails, and they'll change their shoes and their clothing and their wardrobe, and that'll work for a while, and then it stops working, so they got to change to something else. And hey, maybe now we'll worship Beelzebub. Maybe now we'll worship Ashtaroth. Maybe now we'll worship Baal for a little while. And when we get tired of that, we'll start back at the beginning. And they realize that the gods that they create for themselves of money, prestige, character, whatever, they don't serve. They don't work. I could only imagine being a Philistine looking over at David going, your God has trumped us 1,000 times, and Ashtaroth did nothing. Beelzebub, Baal, they did nothing. There's a little bit of animosity there. But some of us Christians, we're not living that separate apart so we could show that distance between what God can do for a person and what a carnal lifestyle can do for a person. They didn't trust David. And to be honest with you, they shouldn't have trusted David. Because if I'm sitting there reading this story, and I didn't hear the rest of it, verse 9, and Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee, and as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Nothing in there. Verse 8. And David said to Achish, but what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king? Nothing in there outside of David's admission would have told me that David wasn't just going to flip the card once he got out to battle. I mean, you think about it. Up to that point, verse 8, and then the preceding when he leaves the battle. Up to that point, I would have sat there and said, David's planning something, man. He's in the rear. Israel's going to be on the other side. This is the mighty warrior King David, man after God's own heart. David was going to do something, but he didn't do something. As a matter of fact, well, what did I do? Why can't I? I mean, David could have gone up a little ways when the battle started, come right back down, could he not? But he went home to the wrong home. If I was them, I wouldn't have trusted him either. But the fact of the matter is, some of us Christians, we try to be so sinner-friendly, we become dishonest to what we are. I love people. I really do.
You know, everybody's a little bit different. Some people are really different. You know what I mean? I love people. But I can't get into what they're into. I can't. Man, I really wish you'd watch this show so we could talk about it. You ain't got nobody else in the whole spinning planet you could talk to about that show. You want my opinion of it. Let me tell you, it was written by sinners. I don't like the nudity. I don't like the violence. I don't like the nonsense. How about that?
You know, you ain't even watched it. You don't know.
It says right there that... See, now, for everybody here who thought I was crazy and thinking that there was a bat... There he goes. All right. It is 8:05. I've gone over. That's what happened. Oh, he's back again. So at any rate, before my wife steps out of that nursery and screams, Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And the answer, of course, is no. No. I can't walk with worldliness. And worldliness can't walk with me. I can love them. I can bake them a cake, take them a meal when they're sick, but I can't have fellowship with them. We ought to treat sin the way some of y'all are treating that bat. You know what I mean? Some of you want to kill it. Some of you want to run screaming from the building. The point is this. We are no longer among this carnality. We're no longer among this sinful mindset. We need to live every day apart and set different from it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for the example that you've given us that we ought to stand separate from the way that we used to be. The Lord, we would prevent ourselves from spiritual contamination. Father, it's not the ideals that we're afraid of. It's the sin. It's the wickedness that is buried in these things. People will entertain themselves and raise really bad characters up onto a pedestal. Oh, how wonderful they are. But if a sinner or if a Christian were to act anywhere near like that, oh, what a terrible God you must be, they'll say. Lord, help us to be separate. Help us to live a life of strong integrity so that, Lord, you may be seen in everything that we do. For its name in Jesus we pray. Amen.